Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast, on a Thursday night, August the 18th, 2016. I'm Dre, he's Jay, continuing our month of special guests, breaking down baseball with the Commish David Lewis last show, breaking down football, previewing a little bit of the upcoming season on this show. Jason, we got some guys on that we've had on in the past, and they've been tweeting all day, and they're ready to go and ready to talk some football with us.
Yeah, I've been getting all the alerts today. My phone and my watch keep yelling at me that there's something going on this thing called Twitter. I should probably look into this Twitter thing.
I think this Twitter thing is kind of popular.
Yeah, I guess nobody's getting any of my MySpace posts. My Geocity, oh man.
Maybe it's some singers and guitar players, but that's about it.
So, after continuing with the theme of the last show here, Dre, I think we should start calling these Thursday and Friday night shows dinner and a show from now on.
what's on the menu tonight?
Basically, leftover pizza tonight.
Okay.
So, leftover pizza is not a bad thing in the tradition of another station's theme of cold pizza. Cold pizza, leftover pizza is always good pizza.
Yeah.
It is. No, then it's you actually have to... my dinner tonight. So, yay, leftover pizza.
Your pizza has to be cold so you can work for ESPN. You can't go to ESPN unless the pizza is cold.
You can be on first in pizza.
That's right.
Crushed. I wasn't trying to get that letter from Disney, so I wasn't going to say their name.
Look, we say whatever the hell we want on our show. ESPN gets mentioned when they do well, which is rare, and when they suck, which is often. So we say whatever we want to say. This is the no shit zone right here.
I wish we'd get a letter.
Yeah. Give us some love. Exactly.
Hey, they're listening. They're paying attention.
Okay, I can write down on that.
They have their own show here on Blog Talk Radio Network, Football Fan Rush Radio. You can hear it on Sundays as they discuss their division of expertise, the NFC North. We welcome on previous guests, always a fun time when we have them on, Mike and Cass from Football Fan Rush Radio. How are you guys doing tonight?
I want to say awake, but the games that I'm watching, not so much.
I was going to say the same thing. I was absolutely awesome before like 7 o'clock.
Fantastic. No, if it's 9:30, we're just getting started. We're just getting started at 9:30.
See, Cass is the resident Vikings expert, and based on her last tweet, that game is not giving much, and you all have been seeing my tweets. The new mascot of the Bears needs to be the handicap sign.
See, preseason football will do that to you, though. I can't really get down with preseason football. That's exactly why, because it makes you crazy if your team looks bad, and it gives you outsized expectations if they look good. So I try to avoid it as much as I can just for this reason.
Yeah, you can always fall back to the greatest statistic. Now, I'm not a stat guy, but the greatest statistic of all time, that the 0-16 Lion team went 4-0 in the preseason. So that's got to be one of the – if that doesn't tell you that it's meaningless, I don't know what does.
Well, you know what? You know what I hate about it, though? As meaningless as it is, it can also be detrimental to a season because it's still plagued with injuries. It's still very, very plagued with injuries, as we're seeing with the Bears right now. In fact, Renard gave them a new mascot. As of tonight, he has totally gotten rid of Staley the Bear and given them the handicap wheelchair, because apparently this is where the season is going. And right now, looking at the Vikings, hopefully it's minor, but, you know, starting key corner just got hurt and it's out of the game. And we are in the first quarter. We weren't even halfway through the first quarter. So those are the things that when we're watching for that. We're seeing how all of the rookies are coming together in the game. We're seeing how all the free agency moves are coming together in the game. So we are checking for quite a bit. So while preseason is meaningless for the scores and on the board, and it's an easy way for you to affordably go visit your team at their home stadium and not pay $6,500 during the season, it's still, you know, it still means a little bit, because I did shed a tear watching Xavier Rhodes have to be taken into the sideline and then back into the locker room.
Now, would that be a bigger tear than watching Blair Walsh kick field goals, or is that too soon yet?
Blair Walsh kicking field goals isn't a tear. That's a blizzard. That's a rainstorm. That's crying. That's wanting to hit yourself in the face. We get many jokes in on Blair Walsh on our show, and if she don't she tries to absorb those punches, and then she throws it to Blair Walsh herself.
I'm going along right now. I'm gonna let him breathe. I'm gonna let him breathe. He did, you know, try to redeem himself in preseason with the 51 yard.
See, the problem is,
again,
when it doesn't count.
Right.
He will kick the 51 yarder, the 61 yarder, but he will miss the 12 yarder.
You know what? Like I said on our last show, you can't say that. He's very, very streaky. I mean, a couple years ago he had a chance to put it away again when the Vikings went to Dallas, and they could have just walked off the field and that was that. And instead the Vikings lost in overtime. It was, yeah, whatever with Blair Walsh. We don't spend time on Blair Walsh. All right, so moving right along.
What I like about the preseason, it allows me to notice random stats in my head. Like, how in the heck does Martellus Bennett, regardless of how good he is, he has played for four of the most prestigious teams in NFL history, starting with the Cowboys, going on to the Giants, and then the Bears, and now the Patriots. Those are four of the most prestigious teams in NFL history. And Andre, you responded properly. He's a great tight end. He just needs to shut up and play.
He's a hell of a player. He's to keep his mouth closed.
Hell yeah. He's great.
He can catch and he can block, which is rare these days for a tight end. And I think it goes to show just how toxic he can be in the locker room, that someone who can block and catch keeps moving on, keeps finding different teams. It's just like, Jason, we talked all the time about Percy Harvin and all his talents just could not stay on a team because he's so toxic in the locker room.
I won't blame him for the Cowboys. The Cowboys and the Giants. The Cowboys, well, they never saw what they had in them. They have a potential Hall of Famer. With the Giants, he signed a one-year contract, went to go get his money, and the Bears were the first big check he got. And then even as a Bears fan, and the two of you all grew up in Chicago, Chicago's organization oftentimes doesn't know what they have, and they send it on before they develop. And then for the Patriots to pick him up, they only paid a song for him. And now how many teams would love to have Martellus Bennett as their number two tight end? Because Gronkowski, as great as he is, can't stay on the field. And then what do you have? You have Martellus Bennett coming up. And even if you don't look at him as a backup, you look at him as, wow, we have Gronk and Rodriguez again.
So exactly. They replaced the killer.
Right. Replace the killer with the mouse.
I was trying to figure out how
mouth.
To say that easily.
You replace
but
the killer
think,
with the mouse.
But being around Martellus when he was here in Chicago, I just really – if I could find fault in some of the things that he said, I honestly would. But Martellus is just nothing but honest. But again, like you said, when it came to the Cowboys and the Giants, I really can't say that about the Cowboys. The Cowboys' whole everything is toxic. So to say that Martellus was toxic in a locker room that once held T.O. And right now they're dealing with Dez Bryant and his monkey, I can't go with that. I just don't think that Martellus is going to keep him. And I'm wondering if New England just may be it, because now they have that 1-2 tight end punch. And I think I actually think it's a good fit for him now. I think he's somewhere where we won't be distracted by reports of things that he says. We'll actually get to see how talented this man has been and always has been on the field with New England. So I'm kind of happy for the move. Sorry, Barry.
Plus, when you look at the Cowboys, if you're going to compare him to Jason Witten, Jason Witten may not be as good a blocking tight end. He's a hellified catching tight end. But he also has the history there that they were not gonna choose Martellus at the time, a very young tight end, over Jason Witten. And then to go, I'm still trying to figure out why New York didn't do what they needed to do to keep him, because the season he had in New York was excellent. I don't even understand how Chicago was able to get him. Period.
That's overpay. That's how you get someone like that.
I don't even think they overpaid, though. It would be different if I thought they overpaid. I don't think they overpaid. I think they did what they had to do, and sometimes you overpay. I just don't, especially with the direction that the NFL has gone and where the tight end position has developed. I would have thought they would have. I wouldn't say that's overpaying. 10 years ago, maybe that would have been overpaying, but the tight end position has become a featured position, almost a skill position in the NFL at this point.
Yeah, I'm not saying overpay is a bad thing. If you get what you need at the time, then it's fine. But you know, it is what it is. And I don't think his mouth necessarily is something that's should get him kicked out of locker room after locker room. I think on this particular Chicago Bears team with this particular coach and John Fox, he's not standing for anybody that's not all football-y and football
not,
all the time.
He's not actually. I brought that up a season ago. Like, the minute you get to that point, you're gone. Period.
I mean, look at Brandon Marshall, the ultimate guy that wanted to do everything off the field. They cut him so fast, our heads spun. And honestly, I was a huge Brandon Marshall fan. I'm still a Brandon Marshall fan, but honestly, I'm not surprised, and I understood. I felt it was wrong to even ask your team to go to do a show on Showtime. But I was also the same person that felt like Lance Briggs was wrong to open up a barbecue spot in L.A. on the weekend you're supposed to be playing a game. So
yeah.
You go from Mark Trestman to John Fox. There's going to be a few people that are not ready for that disciplinarian to lay down the pimp hand, so to speak.
No, that's for sure.
The Bears are going to be a different team. When? Like
I'm hoping soon.
Because apparently the John Fox effect has not kicked in.
There's only so much you can do with that talent, though.
Right. I'm thinking exactly. We're on the upswing, but I don't think that any upswing kicks in until 2017-2018 season.
Well, you so much like for being honest. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Well, there's
no one expects him to make the playoffs this year, right?
We talk about this, you know, all the time, is that the two biggest roadblocks for the Bears, unfortunately, are the Packers and the Vikings. And we don't see any kind of major drop off. I actually expect both of those teams to be better this year than they were last year, which doesn't leave a whole lot of room for the Bears, unfortunately. So
Jason, why are you hurting my feelings right now?
Well, I'd rather have you get this out of the way now than live through a season of disappointment.
I've come to that realization. I've said this. I've actually said that even though the Bears, I expect to be better than last season, I expect that the NFC North to be one of the strongest divisions in the NFL. The worst team in a strong division might still be a good team, but it's still the fourth best team in that division.
Yeah,
I honestly don't even think. What I think the Bears have is a good coach, but good coaching does not win out over talent. Because I even believe that the Lions have better talent than the Bears, even after losing Megatron.
Yeah, I have the unfortunate. I unfortunately work with at my job. I work with a 49ers fan. Who just does, we have this same conversation. Yeah. They just don't want to. It's hard to accept the fact that doesn't matter how good you think your team is going to be, even though that's a team that's destined for some really awful football this year. It doesn't matter how good you think your team is going to be. If the Seahawks and the Cardinals are in your division, your ceiling is only so high.
Forget
my goodness.
Right. And the Bears are basically in that boat where, unfortunately, it's tough when you're in a division with two dominant-looking teams. And there's not a lot of those divisions in football, but unfortunately, the NFC West and the NFC North have two legitimate dominant teams where there's not a more, you know, look at the East and the South. It's even with the Panthers, because I expect the Panthers to come. They're not going to go 15-1 again.
I mean, but when you talk about the NFC West, you might even see the LA Rams leapfrog over the Niners. I'm not saying. I said leapfrog. I didn't say do good.
That's a battle for last place. Oh, we know that. That's just a battle. That's a battle for who's going to be.
It doesn't count.
Well. Yeah. Yeah. Right. No, the best thing that could happen to the 49ers, and this was where I got in trouble with my coworker, I said the best thing that could happen to the 49ers is they get the number one draft pick.
Yeah, and that would take a 2-14 type effort.
But that they've got that in them. They definitely have that in them.
They have those tendencies, as we say.
Yeah, I can see it happening.
Man,
you mentioned
the Niners will never live out and do better than the mass exodus that they experienced 2 years ago.
When Harbaugh left, forget it.
I mean, after Harbaugh left, everybody left. You had like three people retire, two major players leave, you had assistant coaches say peace. And then for you to go with the head coach that you went with, that was the worst decision that you had. And then I'm one of the people that hate Chip Kelly, but understand that Chip Kelly is still better than what you had last year.
Wait, I thought the 49ers ownership said Jim Tomsula was going to be a great hire, just like Steve Kerr with the Warriors.
Yeah, they said that, but what had happened was.
What happened?
Was on the show. Full of laughter.
Yeah, they have to say that. They hired the guy. Nobody hires the guy that has a press conference. And says, we just hired this guy on the cheap for 1 year.
When it all came out and it turned out that Tomsula was the person that was in ownership's ear hating on Harbaugh the whole season, and he was the reason that Harbaugh got fired, I thought it was nothing but karma when they did so bad. It's like, you wanted to listen to this guy. You hired this guy. It's your own fault that you got what you got.
They're getting what they're getting right now.
Yeah, pretty much. Right in the picture.
You can't blame the Bears' injuries on preseason, though, Mike, because they were getting guys hurt in the first day of camp. They lost half their team in the first day of camp before they ever played a preseason game.
Oh, no, I'm not blaming it on the preseason games. I'm just saying that after I watched another person go down tonight, I didn't blame that on the games. I just blamed that on the Bears preseason. And I'm including OTAs and I'm including training camp, all of that when I say the Bears preseason. The Bears have, from their rookies to their big names, they have not had much of anybody on the field. Kadeem Carey went out, and he's their number two, arguably their number one running back. Leonard Floyd is in and out. Danny Trevathan is not playing tonight. You had another guy go out tonight. And not to mention that Kevin White didn't play last season, and he was on and off during preseason. Alshon Jeffrey had a hamstring injury coming off of a calf injury, and many of us think that's a paycheck injury.
Finish my contract injury.
That's a paycheck injury. But then we also have other players that are just consistently injured that – Derrick Rose is even laughing at the Bears right about now.
Now that's saying something.
Hey, hey!
That's saying a lot.
Wait a minute. Alshon Jeffrey having a paycheck injury? Are you suggesting that he's kind of pulling a Ricky Waters there? For who? For what? He's kind of not going all the way, but not going as hard as he could there?
I'm suggesting that I'm not gonna say that he's not going as hard as he can, but I'm saying that he's pulling up, saying, "I don't need to put myself at risk until I'm getting paid, because you're not getting paid for the spring season. At least come the season, I'm getting checks." That's what I'm saying.
Like, hey, smells a little waterish to me, Jason.
Yeah, I mean that's always tough, you know. There's no guaranteed contracts in the NFL, so you can't blame somebody for wanting to get paid. You could end up, you know, doing it to the detriment of your team. You could end up pulling a Cam Chancellor, you know, where you don't show up for the first two games last year. Your team looks terrible, and then you come back. But you know what? It ends up hurting you in the race for your division, for the race for home field, and I don't know if Seattle, even though they tried in the second half, never fully recovered from it. And a lot of that stemmed from a high-profile player on a team putting himself before the team, thinking about the money. So, but it is all about the money.
I think
all
the Bears
the
and
money.
I think Alshon Jeffrey is looking at when Henry Melton got franchised, he was injured in the first 2 weeks. And he's never been the same since. And he ended up playing with Dallas the following season. And that franchise tag, although it's guaranteed for the season that you're franchised in, it means nothing for the rest of your career. He wants an extended contract. And as an NFL fan and as a Bears fan, I'm like, look, you let go of Brandon Marshall, at least sign this guy, because we have not seen a thing from Kevin White yet. It would be different if we saw that Kevin White was such a great, great wide receiver. But we don't know anything about Kevin White.
I seem to remember a certain co-host of mine on this podcast not very impressed with that draft pick last year.
Oh, my co-host,
she's
not impressed with it either.
I was at that draft, and I watched an entire, maybe 300-400 people feeling the same way.
I mean, my opinion was there were other people to go get, and Kevin White was expected to last to the second round. The Bears are notorious for jumping up to get players that would expectedly be available in the second round.
Let's slow down. Is that a Bears problem? What's up with the talent that they go get? And how come it can't successfully mesh together to be the team that everyone predicts that this team should be? Where is the ball being dropped?
They're I'm not even going to say they're picking bad talent.
They're cutting people. They're building defenses. Defenses are all in, like, the emergency room. Like, what's the missing link that can actually pull this entire team together to actually be a competitive team again?
I really wish I was going to say that they had bad talent that they're drafting. I just don't think they're drafting bad talent. I think they're drafting the talent that they got too early. For example, Kyle Long was pegged to be a second or third round draft pick. Yes, we're glad we got Kyle Long. But I just don't – where he was picked was way too early. The following season, every Bears fan in the world wanted to get Ha Ha Clinton Dix to get rid of the Chris Cunt or Chris Kant debacle that we had. We go get Kyle Fuller, who was a second round to go to second round, and then to go get Kevin White. As much as we needed a receiver, we had other positions that we needed more. And for you to say that the Bears have horrible picking at talent, in previous years, I would 100% agree with you.
I said I would agree with that. I didn't say that. I'm trying to figure out where the disconnect is. Is that one of the things that's going wrong? Is it on the coaching end? Is it on the way they're using the talent? Like, what is the issue?
The issue is the Bears do something that winning teams don't worry about. The Bears draft talent to play today. Winning teams draft talent to play tomorrow. And the Bears don't develop talent. And you and I have had this conversation too many times. They're horrible at developing talent. They're the worst. I won't say the worst in the NFL because I'm not going to act like I watch every team in the NFL. But they're one of the worst in developing talent. And I think that's where the disconnect is. If you're drafting for today, you will never have a player for tomorrow.
I can't say that because there are teams that draft for today because they need a player for today, hence most of the teams in quarterback debacle situations, and they still turn out fine.
I think you have to split up the regimes and let them sort of be judged on their own merits instead of congealing everybody together under the Chicago banner, because we're going to have the bad draft picks of the previous GM, Jerry Angelo. But you have to separate the Shea McClellans and the Kyle Fullers and all that. Separate that from what's being done now under Ryan Pace, because he just got there. He's still new. Give his guys a chance. We'll see if this Kevin White thing works out. Hopefully it does. But that's not necessarily something that all Chicago GMs have to overdraft and have to pick guys that, like Renard said, are projected in the second round. That's just something that one GM did, and he got fired for it. Now this GM is hopefully turning the corner and not going to do those exact same things. On the other hand, Renard is right. Every other GM that tries to overdraft like that, they seem to hit at least, you know, half the time. Every now and then you're going to have some misses, but to do that, to go off the board, so to speak, and reach for somebody, you got to have more hits than misses, or else you're going to stand there looking like a fool. And that's what happened to, like I said, to Jerry Angelo, and that's why he's not there anymore.
Well, Jerry Angelo is not there anymore because Lovie Smith is not there to fix his problems. Because Lovie Smith fixed a lot of problems that Jerry Angelo made.
I was going to say that. I mean, Jerry wasn't like the greatest drafter then, but Lovie was able to put it together. So from Lovie Smith's heyday to what we've experienced since like a 2005, 2006 season to now, I'm just trying to figure out where their disconnect is.
Like I said, it's different regimes. They got rid of the one. Now let's give the other one a chance and then see what happens with him. Not to make it a Chicago-centric show. There's other teams, of course,
in
the division.
Please move on, because my heart will be on the floor if we keep talking about Chicago. Please, let's move on. I'm a Bears fan, and I don't need my heart being on the floor for the rest of the night.
Yeah, we mentioned them, talked about them a little bit earlier, and I have to do the full introduction to give Cass her shine because this is her team, so I've got to get her all ready and hot and bothered because I know she's all happy about this. The defending, reigning NFC North champion, Minnesota Vikings.
Yes. Look like crap right now on the TV, but it's a
brief season. It's a brief season, for the love of God. Oh, my goodness.
Preseason. But, you know, it is preseason, so nobody has their shorts up in a bunch. You just watch the injuries. But I'm excited for this season. I'm excited. Teddy Bridgewater was my biggest concern last year with good reason. So he did actually spend his offseason working very, very hard to be off the chopping block of many analysts and me and commentators and fans. And, you know, he looked really great in practice, and he threw a nice bomb in the last preseason game. But it's when the season starts. I'm honestly, that's my only point.
Wait a minute, Cass. If you're going to say Teddy Bridges was your biggest concern from last season, we got to give props to our other cohort, Mr. Mike Terrell. He coined the best nickname for an NFL player that I've ever heard. Teddy Bridge over Troubled Water was his nickname on our show. And literally, even though Mike coined that term, if Cass could have shot shotgun shells through the television screen, we would have been going to a funeral last season. Because, oh my goodness. I thought Teddy Bridgewater was just going to get dragged off the field like a mama dragging a child off the playground, the way Cass was looking at those games.
And yet he rebounded and put it all together towards the end and led them all the way to the division title.
Oh, what?
No.
No. No.
Well, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, from my outside opinion, not being a Vikings fan, Teddy Bridgewater doesn't need to be great. Teddy Bridgewater needs to turn around and give the ball to a healthy Adrian Peterson and let his defense play some defense and just don't lose games. I mean, Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl with a top defense in his worst statistical career.
They're getting over. I mean, you got a guy who wants to play so he's 40 and at the same time pondering how many more years, including this one, he's going to stick around the NFL. So they're trying to break away from that simply being Teddy's go-to because, I mean, there are teams that have shut Adrian down in a few games, though he's beasted through it. Not shut Teddy down, but Adrian. I mean, Teddy's got to be able to use that arm. They went to get him just for the arm. They could keep Sean Hill and hand the ball off to Adrian Peterson if that's the whole scheme of things. The problem is, the O-line wasn't that great, especially with Phil Loho out last season. They didn't make a lot of holes. The coverage was very, very shoddy. And Teddy would see him coming, and instead of taking a sack or even having confidence in the receivers that are downfield and your tight end, you're going to throw the ball.
AKA
like
Mike Wallace.
And like, right, and duck. Like, what's the – so now we three and out for no reason. Like, that worked. He was very,
now, wait a
you could
minute.
See that his confidence was no, I can pull up a list of games. We could go through dates.
Well, he's a
Some
rookie, Kaz. If he sees the rush coming.
This is his third year. This is his third year.
He was not a rookie last season.
He was not a rookie last season.
It was his second year, okay.
This is his third year.
If he sees the rush coming and just throws it up.
He played better his first season than he played better this last year.
But if he sees the rush coming, just throws it up, he's going to be the next Rex Grossman. We can't. You don't want that, I know.
You know what? If he would have done that, maybe somebody would have gone to get it. You got to the point where the offensive weapons, the receivers, and the tight ends weren't even covered. 82% of the plays, they weren't covered because other teams had already figured out he's not going to throw it to them. Just go say boo to that guy. He's going to throw it out of bounds. He's going to throw it to somebody who wasn't. He hit Adrian Peterson so many times with the ball when it wasn't even a play for Adrian. Those are all plays for losses. That was shaking confidence. And finally, everybody got down on Teddy. Like, you got to stop. You either going to go out there and play or you're not.
Defenses were stacking 12 men in a box, and yes, I said 12 men in the box on the Vikings because they were not worried about Teddy Bridgewater throwing it downfield.
They weren't worried at all. So toward the end of the season, when he got a few bombs, that was luck, but it wasn't on great teams. I mean, it happened, forgive me, Renard, it happened on Chicago. It happened on a few teams.
Yeah, it happened in Chicago. Chicago had a horrible secondary.
It by the time it came to the end of the season, they were like, what's the point of getting hurt? Let the man throw it. But honestly, overall, he wasn't overly impressive. You look on paper, there are a lot of teams that look great on paper. Eli Manning looked good one season on paper, and that's because half the passes he threw was to the other team. But, you know, if you look at pass percentage, it was there.
Well, you know, we've talked about it a lot on our show. Eli Manning started looking a lot better when Odell Beckham showed up.
Oh, gosh. Everybody looks better. Rex Grossman would look good with Odell Beckham.
Right.
I mean,
so,
we pick on
Rex. I might second that one. I might second that.
I mean,
Eli
Odell
got
Beckham,
a lot better.
Right.
So
what is Odell Beckham is fast, but as fast as he is, what the best thing about Odell Beckham is his hands. And
his hands are
one
amazing.
Of the greatest things that And one of the greatest things that I loved about when Alshon Jeffrey got to Chicago is Brandon Marshall stated it out loud more than once. Alshon Jeffrey made Brandon Marshall step his game up with having good hands. The only reason Alshon Jeffrey didn't play a lot of games his first season was because Jay Cutler was throwing 150-mile-an-hour passes for 3 yards. Hands mean more to a QB than speed. As great as Mike Wallace is, as great as Randy Moss was, as great as certain players are, if you got great hands, that means everything. Ask Steve Young and Joe Montana how much they love Jerry Rice's hands. Hands mean everything, and Odell Beckham is making errant passes by Eli Manning look not so bad, because Eli Manning is not accurate. He's just willing to get over. He's willing to get over the interception he made on the previous drive. And sometimes that's the best thing in the world. And that was in the two or three good games that Rex Grossman had, even in the season when the Bears went to the Super Bowl, what was great about him is he got over the mistakes. And sometimes you just wish that Teddy Bridgewater would get over the mistakes he's had. It's time to move on to the next drive.
But Teddy Bridgewater doesn't also have that arsenal. He does. You can't rag
on
the guy
Mike
too
Wallace.
Much.
He had Mike
Wallace.
Mike Wallace looked great when Ben Roethlisberger
was throwing him the football. And that was about it.
And Teddy Bridgewater is not Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm not going to disagree with you, Jason, but Ben Roethlisberger threw it in his direction.
Right.
Teddy Bridgewater doesn't.
He never connected with, never, ever. Three times?
Yeah, unfortunately, when you have a receiver who leaves a good receiving core and a good situation and a good core. We see this up here in Green Bay all the time. You can't name any of these big name receivers who ever left playing for Favre or who played for Rodgers and gone to another team where now you're the guy, or we can also call this the Eric Decker syndrome. When you go to another team and you're the guy, everybody else on that team knows you're the guy. See, Roethlisberger had Mike Wallace, but he had other guys. You pick one guy off of that, now you take him to Minnesota, or you take Mike Wallace to Miami, where now he's the guy, but you don't have other guys. Everybody knows you're the guy.
I won't disagree with you on that, but
I
would.
You didn't have to. You didn't have to cover Mike Wallace. You didn't have to cover Wallace initially. You didn't have to cover Jared McKinnon. You did. I mean, he wasn't going to.
You can look at that, Jason.
Outside of Viking land, Jared McKinnon is just a guy.
But
and Mike Wallace wasn't very good either.
It didn't matter. Right. It didn't matter if he was just a guy or
Stephon Diggs
whatever
is
he
a
was
guy.
Supposed to be.
He's new.
But it doesn't matter when you got time to like stand there on three
he
and
out. He
doesn't
have time to stand there, not behind that line.
But they did. There were several times that they had because they knew the ball wasn't even coming their way.
The problem, Jason, isn't what you're saying is correct or incorrect. Early on in the season, when Mike Wallace first got to the Vikings, he was considered a threat, and they would cover Mike Wallace. By the end of the time period that he was in Minnesota, they could stop.
They were having
him.
Conversations with him, right? They were like,
it wasn't even about Mike Wallace is good or bad. They just knew the ball wasn't going in that direction.
They knew it wasn't going.
I mean, I will even compare it to Bernard Berrien going to Minnesota. At least when Bernard Berrien got to Minnesota, they threw him the ball. They didn't do the same thing with Mike Wallace. And I don't lay that completely on Teddy Bridgewater. I blame that on Teddy. I blame that on the head coach. I blame that on the offensive coordinator. I blame that on all of them.
I think the balance that Mike Zimmer and his staff has figured out how to have Teddy Bridgewater be the sort of game manager and not go out and try to do too much and wind up losing games. I think he struck sort of the perfect balance last year with him. He didn't try to ask him to do too much. He didn't ask him to throw bombs downfield for guys that it might
actually
get there and not.
He
didn't know.
Actually, he did ask him to do that. They took the pressure off Adrian. That was asked last season. The beginning of last season, that was asked. And this season,
at the beginning, yeah. And when they found out that wasn't going to work, then they switched up, and that's why they won the division.
No, he didn't switch.
They won
the
division
because
Jordy Nelson wasn't on the field. Let's keep that honest. That's why they
No.
I mean,
that's part of it.
I'm
but the Packers had the right
time.
They could have won on that last game as well.
No. Right. No.
I'm not hating on the Vikings, the Packers never picked up on their offense like they have in the past.
Well, they had their chance in Game 17, and couldn't
get
it done under.
Right. They really did. They couldn't. Right. So what do you? Where is that coming from? That's right. So moving along, I want to talk about a few other teams around the league that people have high hopes for besides Seattle. We don't have to talk about Seattle. But, you know, I want to talk about some teams, what teams you guys think are actual sleepers. In several of the meetings that I'm in, everyone's on this Jaguar bandwagon now. Everyone's the Jaguar. I'm
sorry.
Cool. Everyone's the Jaguars are a sleeper team. Be ready. And I'm like, really?
Okay,
Jason just burst in laughter, so obviously he doesn't feel that way.
Exactly.
You know, and Andre knows.
Jason
Andre knows
every Russell Westbrook disease.
Andre knows every once in a while he'll make a pick and I'll bust out laughing like that, and he knows it's a loser as soon as that happens. So. Somebody who picks the Jaguars as a sleeper has just got a lot of free time on their hands. They're like, okay, let's look at a bad division and pick a team that could maybe just jump out of the pack, because that is probably the worst division in football.
Which we talked about.
So you could take any of the four teams in that division and call them your, you know, quote unquote, you know, sleeper.
That division is the winner of that
it's
division.
Bad.
I'm not going to be surprised about. Period.
Right. We, you know, every year now, because of this 8 division format, you could end up with that 8-8, 7-9 division winner. And if Andrew Luck looks like he did last year, that could happen all over again. So yeah, okay. The Jaguars have a chance, because the Jaguars could finish 5-11 and only finish 2 games out of the division win. So well, yeah, why not the Jaguars?
Why not us?
You know, in terms of actually like what they're doing, that we talk about draft and develop franchises and how bad the Bears are, and the first one that jumped into my mind is worse was the Jacksonville Jaguars. They draft bad, the guys get hurt.
It was funny to me. They're not the only team. but they really are like pushing him. I don't know why this season people are singing that, you know, high hopes for them, but they are really pushing them.
You know, and I don't want to give away too much for our preseason show, which I'm sure is coming up here in a couple of weeks, where we usually do it right before the season starts. But if I had to pick a team that I'm watching that wasn't, you know, like, what are the criteria? They weren't in the playoffs last year.
I was actually going
to pick the Raiders.
Oh, okay. We talked about
another team.
Is like, because, you know, again, that's a situation with, I don't think anybody expects the Mark Sanchez, Simeon, Paxton Lynch trio at quarterback for the Broncos to do too much. So I think they come back to the pack. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. You always know what you're going to get. But I like the Raiders. And Andre and I were very complimentary of the Raiders last year. That was a fun, up-and-coming team to watch. So that's mine.
We're going into overtime. See you on the other side.
Hey, we get jealous of you on sound effects every time we come on your show.
Was that
sound
you cut that?
Hurt our feelings.
What's that?
No, that's our ending our live portion and going into the VIP sort of after show portion there.
Woohoo, VIP.
That's but right.
Now we can say what we really think.
I would say
yeah, we were holding back before.
Team, I would say my sleeper team easily.
Don't say the Bears.
I wouldn't necessarily. No.
Okay. Maybe your asleep team. That's the asleep team. That's the put them to bed team.
No, that's the infirmary team. That's the infirmary team, but that's a different story. My sleeper team is in a division that I don't see them having a chance to win, but I do see them disrupting that division, and that's the Buffalo Bills. I do believe the Patriots are still the cream of the crop. I do believe the New York Jets have a chance to scare the Patriots, but I believe the Buffalo Bills could throw a monkey wrench into everybody's plans in that whole division. Because I do not think Miami is even a consideration, even with Adam Gase being down there. Miami is just not ready.
Was Miami in the conversation of sleeper teams?
Oh.
Well, like, I just want
to we gave up, I think, last year. Dre, did we officially give up on the Dolphins last year? Was last year our get-out year on Miami?
I guess so. I mean, any organization that brings in an offensive line ape to try to run their team as their interim head coach, that's just – how can you do that? That's so. We can give up on the Miami Dolphins. So you know what that means once I give up on a team.
Well, I actually don't have anything against the Bills.
Oh, yeah.
I have nothing against the Buffalo Bills. I think we've just sort of figured with this regime and what you're looking at with them is this is the eternal 8-8 team. They start every year 2-6. And then they go on a winning streak towards the end to finish their 8-8 and put themselves back in the conversation. But they can't get ahead of the Patriots. They can't. They always play them tough, though. I will always say, if there's a team in that division that consistently gives it to New England, it is Buffalo. They at least do it for three quarters, anyways, and then they lose it in the fourth quarter. Somehow, some way, they find a way to lose to the Patriots. It seems like, but I like the Bills. I like where you're going there. The Jets don't really scare me at all. So if you're looking at the Bills to maybe be like wild card material, 8-8 last year, that puts them right on the cusp.
It's funny every time they
wild card material. I just put them on the brink of beating the Patriots in that game where they need to beat the Jets in the standings, hurting the Jets when they need that one more win just so they're respectable. I believe they're the monkey wrench team. And the monkey wrench team in one season can be the true winner the following season. I don't give them a chance to really do anything. Even if they creep into the playoffs next season, they're going to lose in the first round. But I do believe the Buffalo Bills are a team that can kill everybody's plans.
Well, I'm going to throw another team out there, and I want to know if you guys think they're dead, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. This is just over.
They're dead. I'm never going to say no.
I'm going to say no every time.
So no,
Matt
no
Ryan,
Ice?
To me, Matty Ice has melted.
Oh, wow.
Matty in Ice Atlanta, has not proven he can win a game in the playoffs. And he does not make anybody better, regardless of how good you think he is. He doesn't make anybody on his team better. He's got great receivers, and he can't get them the ball. The running backs don't run for him. The offensive line is almost as bad as the Bears. And the coaching staff, when they're not fighting each other and fighting with the players, I just have felt like Matty Ice – can only do so much, and I've given up on the Falcons.
I haven't given up on them either. Anytime you have Julio Jones, one of the three best receivers in football, you have a chance. I think Matt Ryan does what he...
And everybody knows he's getting the ball. Everybody knows he's getting the ball, and he still gets the ball.
Matt Ryan says, fine, you know he's getting it. I'm throwing it to him anyway. I think Matt Ryan does what he needs to do to get his star player the ball. I don't know about if anyone else really gets the ball too much from Matty Ice. I think that's his major problem, is he needs to learn how to distribute a little better. But I think Jason will agree with me. We know the Falcons aren't going to be serious contenders until they get a better defense. They're working towards that now under Dan Quinn, but it's going to take a while. It's sort of like the Bears a little bit. It's going to take a while before they actually get to where they need to be.
This is year two of this Dan Quinn trying to remold this defense in the Seattle image. But obviously with Julio Jones, who is, you know, right up there, I mean, probably if he could be the best receiver in the league, because he's on a team with nobody else getting the ball. Devontae Freeman was amazing last year. So for so if you don't think they can run the ball, Devontae Freeman went insane last year. But their problem was that middle of the season lull that they went on, where they won a lot of games at the beginning, won those games at the end, and then just kind of sagged in the middle to a very quiet 8-8. Because a lot of people, you ask them what Atlanta did last year, they're probably, you know, they're remembering that ugly middle, probably thinking, I don't know, 6-10. But they went 8-8. They handed the Panthers their only loss. I mean, they really looked inspired in that game. But no, their problem is the pass rush. They can't get the quarter. They're dead last in the DFL, Andre. DFL getting the quarterback on his booty, and that's their problem. And you give that makes your defense look really bad. It doesn't matter how good your secondary is or how good your second level is, if you give a quarterback all day long, eventually they'll find somebody who's open. So they competed last year. You know, the 8-8's not terrible, and that's, you know, the Saints are on the downward slide. Tampa Bay, I don't have a read on them.
I expect Tampa Bay to be a relevant team before I expect Atlanta to.
No, it's interesting. I'd be interested to see who has who has the better year there.
Yes, I do.
I could see Atlanta.
I'm not saying
contending in that division.
No.
The defense plays well.
I'm not saying that Tampa Bay will be better than Atlanta this season. But when you talk about relevant teams and teams that matter, I expect Tampa Bay to be relevant before Atlanta is. Because I don't think Atlanta's relevant right now. The only thing that is relevant about Atlanta is Julio Jones.
They are still working on it.
And I think Atlanta will have a better season this year. I think Atlanta will have a better season this year. And even if Atlanta has a better season the following year, I believe the following year will be Tampa Bay's on the upswing. We're back, and we're going to compete with Carolina. I think Carolina is the cream of the crop in that division. But like Jason said and like Andre said, they're not going to be 15-1 again. They've already lost some players, but they also got Kelvin Benjamin back. They got players back. And right about now, I'm not seeing much expecting out of the Saints. I'm not ready for Tampa Bay to be good. And I've lost faith in what Matt Ryan can do. I do believe he has some weapons. I just don't believe he can get the ball to those weapons.
Well, you guys,
and this is a fan of the Bears, and Jay Cutler saying that.
Okay. Well, I mean, and you know, we can bag on Matt Ryan. The guy threw for 4,600 yards last year.
I'm the person that bags on Matt Stafford. I bag on Matt Stafford, and he averages over 5,000 yards a season. Just because you have a lot of yards in a season does not mean to me that you're that great, because I don't think Matt Stafford's that great.
Why? Hot takes. And questions.
That is right. That's a tough one, man.
I'm going well with that.
Would you take Matt Stafford on the Vikings or Matt Ryan?
What to back up?
I know she would take Matt Ryan.
To back up.
I know she would take Matt Ryan.
Because I can remember Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan was still putting up pretty prolific numbers even before Julio Jones got drafted, and he was throwing to some. Basically, he was throwing to Roddy White and Michael Jenkins. He was throwing to some bums.
But see, Roddy White wasn't something to sneeze at though either.
No,
at that point.
But Roddy White was not the caliber of talent that Julio Jones is.
Oh no, he's not Julio Jones.
He was good. He was good.
But what he's saying is he was still putting up numbers without having a Julio Jones type of player that he was connecting with. So,
We've talked about this on the show. I'm not like Matt Ryan, rah, 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 Matt Ryan. But I don't think Matt Ryan, I don't think he's as bad or as done. I don't think he's Brady Quinn done, as we like to call it on this show. I'll tell you what, if there's a quarterback in the league, and Andre and I talk about this all the time, if there's a quarterback in the league, if you've got 30 seconds left on the clock and you need a field goal, you want Matt Ryan as your quarterback, because if he's proven anything,
yes,
he can
and
get
as a Bears
field
fan,
goal.
I know that, and I know that well. He is excellent with 30 seconds left on the clock, but the rest of the game, not so much. With 30 seconds left on the clock.
They're not winning these games 3-2.
He earns his name and with 30 seconds left on the clock. The problem is, I believe he's a good quarterback, but he falls apart in the playoffs. And if you're going to always fall apart in the playoffs, I lose faith in you.
They lost that NFC Championship. They melted down in that NFC Championship game against San Francisco. I mean, they were up 3 touchdowns in that game. And I don't put that all on Matt Ryan.
If you're up by
3 touchdowns, you also have to give up those points.
I'll go a step
Matty
further.
Ice wasn't on the field
the
for the defense.
You lost to the Packers.
Yeah, that's true.
When the Packers barely got into the playoffs the year that the Packers won. Honestly, as a Bears fan, I'm still mad.
What did everyone else?
I told Andre, though, not on the show because we didn't have the show yet, but I told Andre going into that for our picks. I said, Andre, this is the best 6 seed ever going into the playoffs.
That year, I felt the Bears needed to win in week 17 just so they wouldn't have to see the Packers again.
Yeah,
I said that to Cassandra, not on this show at the same reason.
Because that Packer team was 10-6 and did not lose a game that season by more than 5.
I mean, the Falcons were the number one seed in the NFC that year.
Right.
They were the number one seed, and they lost in the second round, first game for the Falcons, to the Packers. And
it was the division.
Though.
It was the division round, and here's the problem, and this is where Andre and I can – because I'm a Falcons fan, so this is easy for me to remember. They gave up 48 points.
I know. It wasn't
and
close.
then decided in all of their infinite wisdom as an organization, we just gave up 48 points, so let's sell our whole team on the draft to draft a wide receiver after we just gave up 48 points. And they are still trying to dig out of that hole. Even though Julio Jones is a stud, that team made it to that far into the playoffs and did all those things without Julio Jones and drafted a wide receiver after getting their doors blown off in the playoffs. Made no sense to
they
me.
They needed.
Yeah, obviously.
They needed a safety. That's what they needed.
They needed. It's the same thing now as it was then. They can't rush the passer. That Falcons team hasn't been able to rush the passer since 1998 when they went to the Super Bowl. It's the last time that team got after the quarter.
And they can't rush the passer, and I'll agree with that. But one of the things that I said that I've been saying about my team is, as great as your pass rushers are, if you have nobody in coverage giving your pass rushers time to get to the ball, that's where one of the things that I believe the Falcons have had a problem, I believe the Bears have had a problem, I believe the Colts have had that problem, and I can run down a list of other teams. If you're secondary, and maybe it's because I played secondary in high school and wanted to play in college, if your secondary doesn't give your pass rushers time, it serves no purpose to have a pass rusher. And I believe that exact draft that you're talking about, Jason, they needed to draft a safety. And beyond just drafting a safety, they needed to also pick up a corner and a middle linebacker. They have not picked up anybody that can drop back into coverage and give their pass rushers time.
And it's hard for me to blame Matt Ryan, because Matt Ryan doesn't rush the quarterback. Ryan doesn't cover in the secondary. He gets his teams there, the deficiencies show up. At some point, the playoffs is a magnifying glass. You're going to see how good your team are. The team is that 10-6 Packer team was a better team. That's the best draft and developed team in football. You guys follow the NFC North. Everybody knows that. That's the model. They don't go and get free agents because they don't have to, and they draft very well. They develop very well. I mean, everybody wants to do it that way.
The draft and develop teams in the NFL are the Packers and the Patriots.
Yeah.
The Packers and the Patriots, draft and develop.
The Patriots just augment. The Patriots are like the bargain hunters in free agency. They'll go and get a guy and bring him in and just kind of mix him in. But they're not going to go and spend the crazy money. And if you don't fit, you're gone. And the Packers don't bring – every free agent signing that they've had in this whole last probably 10, 12, 15 – ever since that first Favre Super Bowl team, every free agent they bring in, there's sort of like a method. An older guy like Julius Peppers was, or like bring in like the very sneaky signing Jared Cook this year, it's like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing. Where maybe some other team doesn't see the value, and you know, it's hard for me to say anything bad about what Ted Thompson and those guys are doing, because it works. And I know it's frustrating up here because everybody's like, oh, we got to go get this guy, and it's always this big name guy, and somehow they still manage to get things done. But again, that helps when you have Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers isn't drafting for you.
Aaron Rodgers makes James Jones look good. Let's start there.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
So how far do you guys think the Cardinals will actually go this season, or can actually go this season? That's another team everyone's hopes are always up high, and then
I had them in the Super Bowl last year.
Well, the Cardinals, me too. The Cardinals are
I denied.
Are at the mercy.
But I'm going to guess you didn't have the Panthers either.
The Cardinals are always at the mercy.
Before the season started.
The Cardinals are at the mercy of their injury, how healthy they stay. I mean, when the Honey Badger goes down early on and Patrick Peterson is asked to do more than what he should, and then no one expected Larry Fitzgerald to become a slot receiver as good as he was as a slid-in receiver. And then Carson Palmer is having the best years of his career. And then each one of them have all had injuries. They're at the mercy of how healthy they stay.
Carson Palmer, he had the finger problem in the playoffs, and that you can't tell me he was the same guy in the postseason, almost losing to Green Bay and then running into what they ran into with Carolina. His body's letting him down. Andre and I have joked that he's been retired since 2005 when he got rolled up on in the playoff game. This is sort of the shambling corpse of Carson Palmer right now that we're seeing playing.
That is so funny, because myself and an actual NFL player, we had that conversation. We were like, so Carson gets a retirement salary because he's busy out there.
Yeah. I mean, we actually coined the term
Carson Palmer.
We actually coined the term getting Von Ohlhoffen after what happened to Carson Palmer when he got rolled up on. So we'll pull that one out on the show when we see a guy get Von Ohlhoffen, you know, and the quarterback gets his knees dove into and does some bad damage to him. So, and Andre, actually, we watched that together. We watched that live in person, it was like on an 80-yard touchdown bomb to start that game, and they're up 7-0, and Carson Palmer's crumpled on the turf, and we're like, yep, he's done. Like, done. So I'm shocked. Shocked that he's still going, you know.
That's what happened to the gymnast in the Olympics on the vault when he came down and his leg went one way and his knee went the other.
Oh,
he got Von Ohlhoffen.
Awesome.
Okay, I don't need that image. I really don't need that image.
Sorry.
So, I have a question.
Is there any hope? Is there any hope?
I just call it like this.
Yes. Yes, there is hope for the Cardinals. I don't know if it means a Super Bowl. I don't know if it means a Super Bowl run, but Bruce Arians has proven that he will get that team going. He'll get that team somewhere. But look at what they, look at what happened with the David Johnson coming out of nowhere last year.
True.
You know, they'll get production out of that team. I just worry that sort of happened last year. Injuries have done them in 2 years in a row. And you just hope that you really they are the most fun team. I think the NFL last year. I thought every time I watched it, I enjoyed it. I was just a football fan. I got team smiling. I enjoyed watching. Well coached. Good defense, good offense. They were really exciting. I was like, Andre, I talk about this being fun to watch, you're not a Cubs fan right now. Just because the way they're doing it, the Cardinals last year was just a fun team. You know, there weren't a lot of bad guys on that team, didn't have to move against them. And I was glad to see them starting, you know, towards the end of the year, they were starting to get a lot of flex slots. And watching the Seahawks Cardinals games, that's must-watch TV now. So I hope that the Cardinals can consider, or can go on a long run. I know I don't have them as my Super Bowl team. No spoilers here, Andre, but not telling you who I do. But I don't have them going all the way. But I think that they'll at least compete. Very strong.
They always compete.
They're not going to forgive Jason's alien voice
that comes along after an hour or so on the show. I don't know why that happens, but yeah, I'm with Jason. Yeah. The Cardinals are always going to be competitive because they have, as their base, they have defenders that were in their prime before all the injuries started sort of hitting, but defenders that are in their prime, they're the most versatile team on defense in the league, I believe. Because they have guys that will stick their nose in there at linebacker and drop back to safety and then go cover somebody on the outside. They got moving parts that'll come do whatever the team needs them to do. And I think a lot of other defenses in football are sort of imitating them and trying to look for guys that are more versatile and that can kind of be moved around the chessboard like different pieces. And I think Bruce Arians and the Cardinals are sort of a little bit of the innovators of that. And I think they're always going to be there because they have the brain power to know what they need to do every game on defense. And they have Carson Palmer playing way better than either one of us thought that he would at this stage of his career. And I don't know how long that's going to keep up. That might be the pumpkin that turns into the coach that turns into a pumpkin at midnight at some point. But until he does, until he proves that he's completely finished, he's been playing like one of the best QBs in football the last few years.
Well, the Cardinals will be relevant. The Cardinals will always be relevant because they have the coolest coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he's so cool that he got permission to wear a Kangol hat on the sideline so he didn't have to wear the Nike hat that everybody else wears. Bruce Arians is still the coolest coach in the NFL, and he doesn't care. And I still am mad that
don't bring up the Bears.
I was about to say don't bring up the Bears. I did see Andre. I thought you'd appreciate this. I did see today there was an article about. Did you see that they just had an interview, and they announced what Bill Cosby's favorite store is when he goes shopping?
Oh dear God.
Uh-oh. What would that be?
The sharper image.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
He can set him up and knock him down.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh.
I wasn't ready. No.
I mean, hey, you're talking on the phone with a person that her heart was broken when the whole Darren Sharper thing came out.
I've been waiting all day to use that one. I've been waiting all day. So wait, we got to talk about something really important here. And that's our fantasy draft now. Now we got 20 minutes to smack talk here.
Uh-oh.
And people were there minus the one person who I knew wasn't going to be.
Hey, I was impressed. Nine out of 10 is very good for any fantasy draft.
But especially you guys, considering last year when no one showed up. So congratulations for really appreciate you showing up to your own draft. That was very impressive.
It was awesome.
What made it tough for me last year was that I did that draft last year in a hotel room in Minneapolis with my kids, and it because only two people were at the draft, me and Andre, the draft took 9 minutes.
I remember you telling us that your wife was shocked, like, you finished already?
My wife, yeah, I'm sitting on the end of the bed, I'm doing the draft, and I put the phone away. My wife's like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm done. She's like, what do you mean? You just started. I was like, yeah, that was awesome.
Quickest draft ever.
We are
That's
still
okay.
mad
we redeemed
this draft.
Ourselves. Yeah,
yes, we had this draft. We had a certain person from our staff that auto drafted everything and ended up with a great team last season. And then this season, she kept picking everybody that we wanted one or two people before us. She started off by picking.
Well, not with me. Well, I think she did not get Adrian Peterson.
I got Adrian Peterson.
I
even say, yeah, Jason got it here. Yeah.
Somebody drafted Ezekiel Elliott number one overall.
Woo!
What?
Now,
ooh, that was
really?
Big.
If this was a dynasty league or a keeper league, so I ended up getting, so Adrian Peterson just kind of fell in my lap at number two.
And I was like right after you, and I was like,
Okay.
I'm still mad at myself for who I drafted number two, because I was trying to press the button on two other players, either Gronkowski.
We have a Gerard Mayo situation arising here, Dre.
Yeah,
I wanted either Todd Gurley or Gronkowski, and I picked AJ Green.
It's not terrible.
It's not a bad mistake to make, yeah.
Right.
He's kind of good.
It's not a bad mistake, but I would, I'm not, sorry.
It's not like you accidentally drafted, like, you know, like,
Russell.
Right, you accidentally drafted the Titans defense or something like that, you know?
I mean, but if I'm picking a real team, I'm not mad at myself for accidentally getting AJ Green. But for a fantasy team, when there's a good tight end or a good running back that early in the draft, I would have rather drafted one of them.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Gurley go that late. Now, obviously, I didn't get anything. You know, after I got Peterson at two, I don't pick again until, you know, 18. Right.
Gurley went one pick after I didn't draft him.
Oh yeah, somebody was. If it
somebody
was the auto,
was
pick,
yeah,
man, that
somebody,
would have been worse.
Well, now here was the crazy.
No,
part.
No,
like,
that would be me.
I wish it was
not auto pick. That would be me.
Well, that was you. Okay.
Yes.
I wish that next year we could possibly do this. I don't even care if we're all figuring out a way to video chat it, because I did the draft with two people in front of me and two people on FaceTime, and we were in here like the old commercial with TJ Houshmandzadeh. Like, it was crazy.
TJ,
Houshmandzilli.
We were yelling at each other. We were like, how did you take that person? I'm taking that person. Like, it was hilarious. It didn't help that we had wine and beer either. But it was absolutely hilarious. So we were like gung-ho for the draft. I took somebody's Aaron Rodgers. Because I was mad because I didn't get Adrian Peterson, and he tried and took my, you know, he took Odell back. Well, he tried to take Odell, but it was so much fun. So I'm hoping next year, if we could video, like, all be on the video chat and do this, I think it would be even more fun, because it was absolutely hilarious, and we were going for blood here in my house.
I know that Andre and I did the draft. We did a draft recap the one year. Did we do a live draft one year? And that didn't go so well, because that was the year that was you couldn't get on the air, or you couldn't get into the draft room, right, Dre? That was
right,
awesome.
I got on, yeah.
We Andre did the draft. Like just trying to forget that.
Yeah, we did the show just fine. I couldn't get in the draft room because my browser kept crashing, and I wound up auto-picking like somebody bad with my first
edit. Like somebody still had Internet Explorer, or was that Firefox?
I believe it was Internet Exploder, as Jason calls it.
Wow.
Internet Exploder, that's right.
Right, yeah. It was the worst.
I was getting over that.
I was extremely happy to get Adrian Peterson. I don't know if I've ever owned Adrian Peterson.
No, we're not rubbing it in at all. Go ahead, keep talking about it. Sure.
No, it's just nice. Andre and I have played fantasy football for a long time.
Adrian Peterson, Adrian Peterson.
Andre knows that I like stud receivers and rookie running backs because I like to take running backs late. And it was, you know, I was stunned because Aaron Rodgers has always been my fantasy quarterback. I love because he is guaranteed 20 points every game.
Yeah, every game. That's true.
So you can't feel too bad. You can't feel too bad about not getting Peterson when you get Aaron Rodgers.
I definitely snagged Aaron. That was like the first person I had in my list. Well, it was actually the second person, but you know, it ended up the first.
You don't get to snag anybody when you're number 10, when your draft position is number 10 out of 10 teams.
But you always get the twofer pick. I've always liked getting
the twofer pick. Feels good.
I've always liked that. Then the weight.
That's the only reason it makes up for it. But I don't necessarily like it.
You know, then you got that. Well, then you got to wait for 20 picks. And it's like, oh, man, you just know if you don't get who you want that go-round, you might not get them. So I've always noticed that team that's got the two picks in a row reaches a little bit more because they want their guy.
Yeah. That's true.
They like the Bears.
I was reaching in some of the later rounds.
Good luck, everyone. My team is subpar with a stellar quarterback, so, you know.
Well, that's okay.
But it's your team. Just like the you Packers. Picked it live. At least it wasn't auto-picked by the computer, so at least you can say you got who you had available to you at the time.
All I know is I had Andre griping at me that I kept taking his players.
Oh, God. Like,
well, Danny kept
taking three rounds
line.
In a row,
Danny
you took the guy I had lined up next.
Well, all I know is it got to the 10th round, and I'm like, oh, I'll just take this Tom Brady guy.
And I'm thinking that was exactly what I was about to take.
Christmas comes early this year.
Wait a minute. Was Tom Brady still on the board as like the 10th round?
Yeah.
Like, no, it was like the 6th.
Oh, my God.
I was
it that early?
It was late.
Okay.
It was either the 6th or the 7th because I was going to take him.
I do remember that.
He's my backup. I'm not going to complain that Tom Brady is my backup.
I will, because I wanted Tom Brady as my starter, and you took him.
I feel your pain.
I got to go with Philip Rivers as my starting quarterback. Now, I don't feel great about that.
Wait a minute. How did that happen? There's probably better quarterbacks on the waiver wire right now.
Than Philip Rivers? Yeah. No, he was very good last year. You know how the Chargers roll,
yeah,
Jason. They can't run for shit. They never have, and they never will. So they have to keep throwing all the time. So they're a terrible team.
Yeah,
they're never going to get anywhere as far as close to the playoffs, but they will rack up fantasy points passing, yeah, because they can't run. They never can.
Although I will go to the NFL.com app here that we use for our football and point out for all of us smart fantasy players, Tom Brady is still starting for 55.8% of the teams that drafted him right now for week
one.
So
that's terrible.
honestly, I bet you Garoppolo is going to rack up a bunch of points in the first four games.
Oh, yeah. He's an interesting – and we don't talk fantasy on the show, but yeah, he is an interesting sort of like a speculation-type play, like a matchup guy, though. They got to have the right schedule. I mean, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to go out there and just light up a bad – that offense is so timing-based, and that's what makes Brady such a master at that offense.
Yeah, if Garoppolo does look anything like Brady in these first four games, they need to trade him as soon as possible because his value will never be any higher.
Yeah, I mean,
this is not like a few years ago when Tom Brady went down and they still had Randy Moss and Wes Welker on the team, so they were able to survive.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so I'm looking at the Patriots here at the Cardinals for their opening game.
Their first four games is like a monster.
Yeah. And Dolphins, Texans, and Bills. Now, Dolphins, the Texans, and the Bills have one common theme, and that's they all play okay defense.
The Texans play good defense.
The Texans are J.J. Watt plays good defense.
J.J. Watt
is all pro, but their defense. Yeah. Actually was better than stellar last year.
And the Bills are always underrated on defense. I just love that Tom Brady gets the four-game suspension and his first game back is Cleveland. I'm going to have to play him that week just because that's going to be – if Tom Brady likes to do anything, it is get aggression out on the football field.
They're going to win that game 63-7.
He is throwing for six touchdowns in that game against Cleveland.
They're probably not even going to start playing until after halftime and still win.
You guys are talking about the season.
As much as I hated the whole Deflategate thing, I'm one of the people that believe once Tom Brady found out that he was accused of cheating in that second half, he was probably still going to do good. But in that second half, after they said, oh, you call me a cheater? Oh, I'm about to throw this ball all over the field. I'm throwing this ball everywhere. And you're talking to a person, I am not a Tom Brady fan, and I wanted Tom Brady to be suspended for six games. But in that game.
He did. That was like so, like, we went overboard with that one. But, yeah, he did.
I wanted Tom Brady to be suspended for six games. But that being said, you accuse Tom Brady of cheating. You accuse the Patriots of cheating, period. Oh, they're going to let all of their aggression out, just like you said, Jason. They almost let it all out.
I'll tell you what, Brady and Belichick, they almost willed that team to the Super Bowl last year. If it wasn't for that Broncos defensive effort in that AFC championship, and then, you know, and Andre and I discounted that going into the Super Bowl because we both had the Panthers in the Super Bowl and we didn't see, and it was right there in front of us. It's like, look what they did to Brady and that team and all the will. But we knew that Brady Patriots team wasn't as good as what we thought the Panthers would be. We totally sold that Broncos defense short. So with Brady on another mission this year, I don't want to keep seeing them over and over again, but
I don't either.
You know, it could happen. It could happen. I'm not saying I'm picking that, but it could happen.
Well, I had picked the Patriots last year to win it all just because of. Yeah. I thought Brady and Belichick were going to go all the way just to stick it up everybody's ass, and they almost did.
I knew. I honestly believed some kind of way they were going to get Peyton Manning in there, even if they were going to trade Peyton Manning to the Patriots on the last day of the season or something. Like, I just knew. I was like, there's Peyton Manning is going to go to the Super Bowl. And people were looking at me like, you're crazy. I'm going to stop listening to your show. And what happened? Peyton Manning ended up in the Super Bowl. It was the craziest thing ever. I was like, yeah, they're talking and leaning on the Broncos too much. I think dude's about to quit, and he's going to go to the Super Bowl. That'll never happen. And so they got
to
figure
out. But then he has the worst statistic.
Brock Osweiler was not going to be a Tom Brady situation.
Yeah, and look at the money that Osweiler got. Oh,
you know, I would. I'm sorry.
I don't want to look at
the money that everybody got.
I would have done that too if I was him. Like, if that's what you guys think I'm worth after playing a couple games last time,
I'm not blaming him. I'm blaming that there was a team idiotic enough to throw that kind of money at him. And then the Bills gave Tyrod Taylor 6 years and some ridiculous amount of money. It's like, okay, come on, guys. I know you're all desperate for a quarterback, and everybody wants to think that they're going to find that franchise guy. But, I mean, come on. What the money that's being thrown around at that position for even mediocre talent – It's It's ridiculous. And Brock Osweiler, yeah. Yeah, great.
It's because they know if they don't get their guy and sign him up, then they're going to be looking at the draft and they might make a mistake and draft the next Tim Tebow or Johnny Manziel or something. They don't want to do that.
Well, who the hell wants those to are do bad X? Examples. Those are bad examples. There have been, those are the high publicity misses. Those are high publicity misses. What about
to draft another Jamarcus Russell? No one wants to draft another Tim Couch. No one wants to draft another Andre Ware.
Or who is the guy? Who is the guy in Tennessee that we were bagging on until they drafted Mariota?
Oh, Jake Locker. That's another first round.
Jake Locker. Jake Locker. Yeah. Christian Ponder. I don't want to dig up any bad memories for Cass, but you know.
Oh gosh.
First round guy. Swing and miss. Swing and miss.
I was afraid of the whole Florida State QB situation, period. Christian Ponder to EJ Manuel to
EJ. Geno Smith. Remember, hey, let's make fun of Geno while we're at it. Oh god, Geno Smith.
Right. He's not Florida State, but we'll make fun of him anyway.
Still upset. He's still upset and he says he's fighting for his
Geno Smith got popped in the mouth.
I don't know in what
since.
World. No.
Our boy EK, honorary captain EK.
That's right. All right, so Vikings or Packers, I'm presuming, for the division this year. Which way are you guys leaning?
That's what we said on our show, and I hate to agree. I just won't say that to either of those teams to the north of me. I just won't agree.
I'm leaning Vikings.
Publicly.
Yeah, I don't even have to ask you, Cass.
Yeah, we know you're leaning Vikings, but I'm not convinced that the Vikings or the Packers know which one of them is going to take it from each other. I think they're running neck and neck. Our biggest debate has been who will be the seller of the NFC North. Will it be the Bears or the Lions? Because we already know, like you said, it's going to be the Packers or the Vikings.
I don't know. I think the Lions are going to do pretty decent this year.
Not
great.
I'm with you.
In the Lions.
You asked my for everyone's sleeper, and actually Detroit kind of popped in my head as maybe not going 10 and 6 or anything. But maybe. I like Matthew Stafford a lot.
I do too. I'm not sleep on the Lions this season. No.
I'm still asleep. I got my Fitbit on, and it's telling me that I'm still asleep. I'm not ready to be on the Lions bandwagon yet.
We're all about to go to sleep, so I'll let you guys turn in for the evening. Mike, Cass, always fun, always a blast having you guys on. Thank you very much for your time.
And, just so you know, because you all explained to us your situation about being on the show on Sundays, we may have a technology friend that will help us out for that, and we will get you all on the show. So we're not going to allow Sunday to kill the chances of you blessing us with your presence.
Well, I actually do get a decent number of Sundays that I'm free now. So it's just, we just got to get Andre free on one that I'm free now.
Yeah, well, I only have a handful that I'll be free.
If it doesn't work out, we have a way to make it work.
We have a way. We sure do.
We have a way. We have a way. And there's another way I just thought of. We could be lucky enough to have you guys on the show separately, and we get two shows out of you guys, or we could do it the other way. So we're gonna get you all to bless us with your presence.
Sounds great to us.
We can't have a season without IML. Are you serious? No, can't happen.
And plus, we got to get you all on the line arguing with our other cohort, Mike, because Mike, when he gets set in his way on a subject matter, you're not going to win that argument.
Oh, we'll see.
We have some good ones. We have some good ones here. We got decades of fighting with each other in this show. You know.
Well, you all got decades of fighting with each other since you all have been 7 years old, so that don't count.
That's right.
That's true. Because you were there to witness them.
Right. I was the runt of the bunch.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, we'll get it done somehow. We will definitely be on you guys' show some way somehow this year.
All right. Well, we definitely have fun, and there was, I had the phone set to remind me there was no way I was gonna miss this show.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks. Uh oh, we're about to get sniped, I think.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
All right. Have a good one.
All right.
I gotta tell you, always... I waited all night for that sharper image bit too.
You set it up
so that was all me.
I mean, you put that on a tee. You didn't need Meshach to serve it up. You brought your own tee out and put it up there and knocked it out.
That was a good one too.
I didn't even know where you were going. I didn't see it coming at all either. That was the whole Darren Sharper and Bill Cosby compared. That was inspired. That was very nicely done.
It
appears we're going to get an hour of overtime, even though I set the show for 45 minutes live, because we're still going here.
That's right. We're only 45 minutes into the after show.
That's right.
So you just kicked them off our show, you jerk.
Well, I'm a bad guy. I didn't know if they were going to get sniped. That's why I did it. I don't want
to. Yeah, I was sitting here. I'm like, wait a minute. It's 11:01. We're still talking. Well, we got 15 minutes. Any, what do you got?
Oh, there's always stuff, boy.
I'm sure.
I was the day after Tim Tebow gets inducted into the Hall of Infamy.
Yes,
he and his people announced that he intends to play Major League Baseball, despite the fact that he hasn't played baseball, organized baseball in any way, shape, or form since high school. Did I read that right?
It's a dream. He's living his dream.
Okay. I have a dream to fuck Mariah Carey. Okay. That's never going to happen. People need to let
him pitcher. I can tell you that. Although he's got the wind up for it.
Exactly. That delivery might be perfect to be the pitcher, Tim Koufax. But we have dreams. We all have dreams, and we can't reach those dreams. We have to let him go at some point, you know? I understand he's only 29.
The whole Mariah Carey thing might have been easier than you think.
I don't know anything about that.
I'm just throwing that out there. I don't think he set the bar. You didn't set the bar too high there.
It's not like she was Paris Hilton. She wasn't fucking everybody.
She did that show on Fox where she was dressed up like the cheerleader with the whole high school football team around her. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, but I've never heard anything quite like that. It's not like she's, you know, Kim Kardashian or something like that.
No, and I have no proof of this, so nobody, don't send us any letters, folks. I actually have no proof. I'm just saying, I'd have had a shot there. You could have been hanging out with Darren Sharper. He would have got you in.
Oh, or Cosby. Cos could have hooked me with a lot of people. Yeah, Tebow trying to play baseball is just
the after show.
I thought I read he was going to have like an open tryout and he expected scouts to show up for this. Who the fuck thinks he has any chance of actually playing? Because the only thing I've heard since that is like ESPN showing him in a batting cage taking cuts, which you can do that. Anyone can stand in a batting cage and take cuts. That proves absolutely nothing. And so with no proof that he was going to hold this tryout anytime soon, no proof that any actual major league scouts would show up to said tryout, none of this deterred Tim Tebow from going on his website, putting up signed baseball memorabilia, signed baseball bats, signed baseballs, things of that nature, selling them for $125, $175, somewhere in that range. We know these items are not game used. Because he doesn't play games.
Maybe they were from high school. Out of a trophy case.
It's so unbelievable. How can people think this guy is anything but a phony and a huckster? And, I mean, you're going to sit there and announce that
you... It is cynical.
You're going to announce that you intend to play baseball, then start selling baseball memorabilia, despite the fact that you are not actually playing baseball.
He said he was going to go play pro tennis, or we're going to have Tim Tebow
tennis rackets
coming out.
Yes.
Yeah.
For $500. Absolutely.
I'm all over this.
He's trying out for the NBA tomorrow, and now we're going to have a bunch of basketballs autographed for $1,000. He's going to be on LeBron James' team. He's going to be his backup point guard. What the fuck? You know, and the people, I guess my biggest problem is the people who buy this shit, because that's what keeps him in business. That's what makes him think that he can actually sit there and say that he intends to play baseball with zero proof that he has any ability to play baseball. If there weren't enough idiots out there to buy his crap, and you know, buy what he's selling in the merchandise realm, and also what the words that he's saying, buy what he's selling. If you're not buying what he's selling, then he can't sell. You know what I mean? If you don't listen to Skip Bayless say the crap that he says and actually pay it some mind, then he can't go to Fox and make millions of dollars for saying completely wrong shit. It's the people that give these people attention and give them, I'm giving them attention now by talking about them, but it's the people that go on Twitter and talk about them and hashtag them and boost their popularity that way. We have to start being smarter as people, as a sports society. We have to stop giving attention to people who don't deserve it. I could spin this off into a political discussion as well, but we only have 9 minutes left. We have to be smarter, people. We can't do this. It's those are the people. The people that are actually going to buy
what's
his crap.
But who is that? Do you really think that there's like some like sycophantic loyal following of
yes,
Tim Tebow that's still claimed, other than Skip Bayless?
The Kim Davises of the world who think that there's divine intervention in everything and that God has got his hand on everything and making everything. And Tim Tebow threw for 316 yards in that playoff game because God wanted it to happen. The people like that, the complete lunatics out there, those are the people that are out there running up their credit cards and going bankrupt to buy an autographed baseball bat by Tim Tebow. Those people are the worst, and they need to be stopped. Not Second Amendment stopped either. I didn't say Second Amendment people need to stop them. I didn't go that route, okay. But those people do need to be stopped. So that's one thing I had. Is there anything you had?
No, that
I could go on, of course.
It was very timely to our show, to our Hall of Infamy.
Right, the day after I inducted him.
Yeah, you're texting me right away, like, can you believe this Tebow shit? I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, so you're informing me of this. Because I am so disconnected from stuff right now. There's stuff that goes on I have no clue about. I wouldn't know about these people's limbs snapping at the Olympics if it wasn't for people trying to post stuff on Facebook or you telling me about it. And so there's a lot of stuff that just with my work schedule right now, you know, basically might be, well, not just that, my life schedule, pretty much watching my kids, playing with my kids, and working 12 hours a day. Other than that, I got nothing. I mean, you know. Even I'm really interested to see my football picks and my performance this year because my history says this will be like my best year ever because I am just so out of it. Or I'm going to be so out of it that I'm just going to be like, I'm going to have one of those years. One of those years that we've talked about that we're due for, you know?
Oh no. The under 400
years. Yeah. Yeah. The Jay Mariotti years. We haven't had those in a while. And I always feel like I've got a pretty decent read on what's going on. So, I hate to say it, but I think I've already got my Hall of Infamy for next year. That's sad, isn't it? I mean,
no, that's
I take my responsibilities very seriously. I got to write them down. My worry now is I'm going to forget them.
Yeah, don't forget them.
So no, I liked having I like the guests bringing a little life to the show too.
Yeah.
You managed to stay on the whole show this time.
That's always a good thing. What happens last year? The football season starts and we just go picks and recap a bit and we just wind up talking to each other the entire season and there was no breakup in there. I meant to get a hold of those guys during the season. I never got around to it, so I just wanted to make sure. To have some time to get guys on that we want to get on, get some variety going, get some other opinions, get some other voices. You know, people can always call the show, the ones that listen live, if anyone listens live. But yeah, just wanted to get some other people on and definitely going to do their show whenever. I don't know exactly what they're talking about. They're going to find a way to get us on. I don't know if they mean that means they're going to tape a show, maybe.
Time travel or something.
We're definitely going to get you on our Sunday show, even if it's not on Sunday.
Yeah. They've got the DeLorean, and we're all going to go back in time.
Interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a possibility. We could always record a show like a late on a Saturday night or something, you know, or something like that. So that would be an interesting way of doing it.
Are you so disconnected that you did not hear about Aroldis Chapman and the Wrigley Field DJ incident?
Oh no, I heard about that. He got Chuck Finley'd, I believe.
Yeah, Tony Kitaen was not seen in the building at this point.
I have to say that that's up my alley as far as tastelessness. But the guy deserved to get fired, obviously. But if you are going to quit your job or drop the mic and walk off the stage, that is the way you do it.
That's just unbelievable. You're going to actually sit there, and the guy's walking off the mound, striking out everybody, and everyone's feeling good, and you're going to decide to spin Smack My Bitch Up as his walk-off music as he leaves the mound and hope that the guy might have been so young and stupid that he just assumed nobody would know or notice because the song is, probably 20 years old. But, no, there's enough people that still know the song and still know the undertones of it and know the title of it and all of that. So that's my guess is what happened is the guy thought he was going to be real slick and nobody's going to notice this. And he even does it after he gets out of the inning and he's walking off and the crowd's going crazy. And no one's going to maybe even notice the music that's playing underneath him. Because if he does it while he's coming on the field as his walk-in music and people are kind of quiet, then they might start looking around at is that Smack My Bitch Up? Is that what is he doing? So that's my thought. He probably tried to get cute. If anyone knows about trying to get cute and getting caught, that would be me. So I can certainly understand that. But that's unbelievable. Yeah,
We get to start pulling out all of our football terms and all of our in joke terminology that we use here. Getting cute is one of our big ones. So,
yep, he tried to get cute.
We get to spin Elvis back up here again soon. I mean, it's closer than we think. I know I am on vacation and out of town this next weekend. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I will be unavailable for shows this week, coming up next week.
That's perfect. Saturday, I'll be at the ballpark doing Redbirds games.
Yeah. So I'm thinking football preview will be – last year we did it right before the season started. I'm thinking we probably do that again, maybe that Tuesday night before the opener. I think that's the –
it's going to be a while. It's after that. The Labor Day is like the 6th or the 5th or the 6th or something like that.
The opener is on that Thursday night.
Yeah. So it's going to be
– Yeah, it's after Labor Day. So we're talking probably like the Tuesday after Labor Day or the Wednesday after Labor Day. So we got a ways to go yet before the actual preseason football show, so I don't know if we want to sneak one in the meantime. Otherwise, that gives us a pretty long run without any shows, 3 weeks now.
I completely intend to contact Tim and get a show in before the preview show and talk about his Redskins. Not that he'll be available,
about Kirk Cousins. He'll like that.
That's right. That's our guy, his guy. We'll see what he thinks about all of that. So
you like that?
We'll see if Tim's available for us. He came on a couple years ago.